The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. When I was a kid, I used to love hearing those words. That meant church was almost over. But now that I'm an adult, I still love hearing those words, but for an entirely different reason. I love hearing them as a pastor, love speaking them. Because they are such powerful words of encouragement for us as we are preparing to leave this place to go back out into the world. We call those words at the end of the service the benediction. A literal translation of benediction would be good word. It is God's good word, a word of blessing to us. At the end of the service, that blessing is spoken by the pastor, but it comes to us from God. He's the one who blesses us. And he's also the one who has figured out a way that we can return the favor, that we can bless him. It's always been an intriguing thought for me. How can we bless the one who has everything and needs nothing? There's only one way. And that is by doing exactly what we are doing right now. Offering to him our thanks and praise. In fact, in some of our worship services, the benediction is preceded by this invitation from the pastor to the congregation, "Let us bless the Lord." And the response from the congregation, "Thanks be to God." That's how we do it. That's how we bless God, by thanking him for all the ways that he has blessed us. I want to dig into that a little bit today, using the words of the blessing or the benediction. We get the background for the benediction in the book of Numbers. The people of Israel are encamped at Mount Sinai, having received the Ten Commandments and now getting ready to go through the desert to inhabit the Promised Land. They've been miraculously rescued from Egypt, and they're eager to get to where they're going, but they're also eager to hear what God has to say to them. In addition to the commandments that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai, other instructions were given for the people to follow as well. And one of those instructions involved really was directed at Aaron. Aaron was the brother of Moses and was serving as the high priest of Israel. And he was instructed how he was to bless the people. The benediction begins with the words, "The Lord bless you and keep you." It kind of has the sound of a prayer, doesn't it? Like, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." Except it isn't a prayer at all. It's not just an expressed desire for the future. God has already blessed us. He's done that in so many ways that we're not even aware of them all. Just as we are not aware of every single star in the nighttime sky. That is how richly God has blessed us. Some of those blessings are very easy to recognize, aren't they? Like good health. That is or would be a very special blessing this year. There are many others as well. A bountiful harvest, family and friends, prosperity. Although you do realize, don't you, that they're not the same, prosperity and blessing. You do realize that, right? Or do we need to debate it? No, there's really no debate. They are not the same, prosperity and blessing. Now, prosperity can certainly be a blessing, although sometimes it turns out to be just the opposite. If it turns people's hearts away from God to trust in themselves or to grasp for more, I think we all know a little bit what that's like. Conversely, God blesses us in many ways besides prosperity. It's easy, isn't it, to focus on material and physical blessings. And we kind of do that in a Thanksgiving Day service. A lot of the hymns are directed in that way. The explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed talks about all the physical ways in which God takes care of us. But one of the dangers of using just that in our worship service is that maybe we don't remember what follows the first article of the Creed, because that's the second article, which is all about Jesus. And all about the blessings that he showers upon us. And it's talking about not physical and material blessings, as much as we appreciate those and give thanks for them. The greatest blessings that God has for us are spiritual. At the top of the list there is forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness that Jesus purchased for us and gives to us. And we don't want the I guess natural desire to focus on the here and now, what we can see and feel. We don't want that to grab our focus and to take our focus off Jesus. Do you know there are other blessings from God? Might not, at least at first glance, appear to be blessings at all. If it's been a rough year, and it's been a rough year, with more than its share of sickness or sorrow, larger than normal bills or smaller than normal paychecks, could we still say that God has blessed us? Well, let me answer that question with another. Has anyone ever been brought closer to God through hardship, illness? Of course. Like you, I've experienced that in my own life, and I've witnessed it in the lives of so many people. And what would we call being brought closer to God if not a blessing? So for all of the ways that God has blessed us and kept us, let us bless the Lord. And if you agree, your response is, thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you is a great way to start the benediction, especially as we reflect on what that word blessing really is all about. There's another word I want to call to your attention. Notice how the benediction begins. This is the first part. It's actually verse 24 in number 6. Now notice how verse 25 begins. And verse 26, they each start the same way. The Lord's name is used 3 times in the benediction. Now, some people see this as a reference to the Trinity, that there's one God who has revealed himself to us in 3 persons. I happen to be one of those people. But I also think there's more to it than that, because I know that if you say something 3 times, it's much more likely to stick with someone than if it's said only once. So the benediction drives home the point that it is God who blesses us. He wants us to know that. Not so he can receive credit, but so we can remain confident. When the benediction is pronounced at the end of the service, it's not just a pious wish or even a heartfelt prayer. It is God's assurance to us. But there's more to it, because it's also a reminder of just how lost we would be without him. In fact, the most important word in the entire blessing is Lord. That fact was illustrated for God's people every day as they wandered in the wilderness following their escape from Egypt. One of the instructions that God had given to them was how they were to set up camp at the end of the day's march. I want you to think for a minute about the logistics here, because there were over 1 million people who were on the march and who needed to set up camp. And God told them how to do that. Those million people were divided into 12 tribes, and they were instructed to set up their tents in a large square with three tribes on each side. And what's in the middle? We call it the tabernacle. You can think of it as a portable church. There were many items in that tabernacle, including the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. It's a striking picture. God was literally at the very center of the life of his people. Now, we don't live in tents, and we're not out marching in the desert, but we are the people of God, and we are on our way to the promised land. During this journey, we want to keep God at the center of our lives, not just as, you know, an afterthought with the occasional nod in his direction, but the very center of our lives. Because it's the Lord who blesses us and keeps us. It's the Lord who makes his face shine upon us. That's an interesting expression, isn't it? We know what it is. We've seen the face shine before, lighting up with joy or maybe pride, like the smile on the face of a brand new mom as her newborn child is placed into her arms. There's a lot wrapped up in that smile. Wonderful pride, deep joy, hopes and dreams for what that baby can become when he grows up, and what I would describe as a fierce love that practically dares anyone to try to harm this baby. That's how God looks at us, with joy and love and hope and pride. Remarkable, isn't it? That he should smile, that his face would shine every time he looks at us, instead of growing dark and angry at our repeated sinning. There's only one reason for that. It's because of his grace. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That word gracious, more than any other, describes our Heavenly Father. He is filled with grace, with love for people who would otherwise be unlovable, wanting to forgive even those who don't necessarily want his forgiveness. For his grace that causes his face to shine upon us, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Peace might well be the greatest blessing of all. Peace that Jesus blessed his disciples with, recorded in today's gospel lesson. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give to you, not as the world gives. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that we cannot understand or explain, but which we can and which we have experienced and enjoyed and still do as we savor the forgiveness and the love that is so freely given to us in Christ. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Peace within ourselves. In our worship services, peace is often the last word spoken by the pastor. No matter what else we've done in the service, we end with a word of peace. No matter what kind of problems were weighing heavy upon us as we came in or what we're walking into as we go out, we leave with a word of peace. Peace from God and with God, the only real peace there is. Peace is the last word that the pastor speaks. But it's not the last word in the service. That is for the congregation to speak. It's a wonderful proclamation. Amen. Yes, we believe it. We know that what God has promised, He will accomplish. We know that the Lord has blessed us and kept us, and He'll continue to do so. The Lord has smiled upon us, and He will continue to do so. The Lord has been gracious to us. He's looked upon us with favor. He's given us peace, and He will continue to do so. What better reason could there be for giving thanks to God? So let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And that peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.